Waleed Abulnaga, welcome to the Maz Hakim podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
I feel like we need to take a deep breath before we start.
I was just going to say that. You're a great learner, so feels good.
It does feel good. Waleed, can you tell us a little bit about your journey with shamanic breathwork and how it changed your life?
Wow, such a powerful question. It did change my life. I lived in Dubai for 15 years, and I grew my company. I got married, and my three daughters were born in this lovely city, which I always call home, no matter how far away I am. And growing the business, you know, from a small operation to a few hundred people to over 1,400 wonderful members in 14 different countries, it was a wonderful ride in marketing, market research, promotions, and events. So that was wonderful. And then came the peak, and then came the fall, you know, with many different things. And I thought I was Superman. I looked at my wife and I looked at everybody. I'm strong. And but I guess when things started to happen in my brain, in my head, little shocks at night, couldn't sleep, I something was off. And then I started to go to doctors, not knowing what was wrong with me. Got a little bit worried, and I did an MRI. And at the American Hospital in Dubai, I was with the top neurosurgeon, and he looked and at this x-ray. He said, listen, it's a minor thing, not that sophisticated, but you have trigeminal neuralgia. It's a chronic pain affecting the trigeminal nerve. And the cure is to open your brain, operate, and remove a little piece of your skull and freeze some nerves. And as he said it to me, like I'm going to put a cavity in, I was a bit in shock. Went home, and I realized this is not the route I want to take, and I'm always into this holistic space, but never really embodied it. So I went on a journey, and the journey led me to all the different places, all the plant medicines, all the spirits, all the yoga and breathwork, detox, physical, spiritual, and from Bali to Peru, from Jamaica to India, to all over. I was in search of healing, and I found healing. I didn't operate, came back, and the end of the journey was when I did the breathwork. It was a very, very powerful breath work, and I couldn't believe the outcome. The outcome was clarity on what I didn't want in life, clarity on what I wanted, tears for, you know, a good half an hour or more. And I finished it just overwhelmed because I've tried so many different things, and I thought they were the answer, and the whole time it was the breath. So that first breath work experience, I would say, literally changed my life, and I decided then and there I really wanted to study everything about the breath, mm-hmm. nafas in Arabic. And so I studied, trained, read all the books, traveled, studying with the founders of holotropic breathwork, with shamanic breathwork, connecting with the spirit world, spirit guides, things I never even believed in. Wim Hof, Dan Brulé, beautiful teachers all over. Understanding that you have the ability to connect with the divine and, you know, heal. We have that power within, and a shaman is basically a healer. Mm-hmm. And we're all shamans. And as I healed, not only did I release myself from physical, spiritual, emotional pain that I was in, but I closed the company, sold the house, I sold the cars, took my wife and three daughters, and we moved to Bali, where we've been there for 5 years. And I launched Nafas Journeys, taking people on spiritual journeys, soul ventures, adventures for the soul, mm-hmm. so they can bridge adventure with spirituality and they can heal themselves, or at least find answers to dis-ease. And today I can't tell you, and you've seen the journey. Yeah. I'm in a very happy state having healed and just loving to share this, the breath work. Mm-hmm. And when I do host them, I can just hear from all the others the incredible and immense transformation that happens sometimes from just one breath work.
So what's it like moving from Dubai to a place like Bali?
It's very different. From smooth roads to rocky roads, from big lanes to, you know, scooters. And Bali's a tropical island, and I was there 15 years ago in my honeymoon, and it's not for everybody. Some people go and they say, yeah, I liked it, but, you know, I won't live there. And I tend to say, you know, when we first joined the school, they sent us the introduction, you know, memo, the brochure, and they talked about Bali and the island as a vortex of transformation. You in. Take you in with warm arms, or it's going to spit you out. And it depends on your state and where you are in life, because you may not like it today, you might like it tomorrow. But for myself, my family, we're enjoying it. It's very different. And I love the energy of the city of Dubai. I love the energy of Bali. And I love the mix of both. I remember when my daughters came last Christmas and were driving, they're like, Daddy, Daddy, the roads are so smooth in Dubai. So, yep, okay.
And what's the difference between shamanic breathwork and other types of breathwork?
One wonderful teacher taught me one thing. With so many different techniques, from pranayama, from Wim Hof to holotropic, all these different techniques, either inhaling through the nose, inhaling through the mouth, alternating the nostrils, withholding, fire breathing, whatever it is, he said they all lead to the same outcome, that beautiful connection with source. And I tend to say, invite yourself to try a holotropic breathwork, try Wim Hof, try shamanic breathwork, see what works with you. Some people like CrossFits, other like Pilates, some like yoga. Mm-hmm. See what works with you. And sometimes within each breathwork, as they all are very similar in some ways, facilitators differ. It's the energy, it's the set and the setting. Where are you? Outdoor, indoor? How's your state of mind? You know, which country? What's the music set? So there are many factors within it, but the shamanic breathwork, it's a technique which involves intense physical breathing. It's a workout, and we're breathing connected, conscious breathing in through the nose, out through the mouth, and we just connect it. And as we connect it, we let go of the thoughts, of any ego that's trying to cling on to something because it has nothing else to hold on to. And we go into a state where we suddenly have no thought. And we suddenly dive into our subconscious, our psyche, and dig out the information, the answers, the clarity that we need. That's shamanic breathwork. And on top of it, we invoke, invite spirits of light. We connect with what the shamans did for thousands of years, spirit guides, spirit animals. You know, I tell my friends back in Egypt when I first started, you know, you can connect with the power of the eagle and, you know, the animal and the wolf. And they're like, what are you talking about? But then they try. And they're like, what just happened? He's like, I think I was hungry. I saw a goat. I'm like, well, it symbolizes something, you know, the perseverance, climbing the mountain. So every spirit animal comes with something if you do see them, when you align with them and vibrate with them. So you connect with spirits, you connect with your spirit within. And it resonated with me the most. I facilitate different techniques, mm-hmm. depending if it's for the school, it's for which age, if it's universities, corporates. Every set and setting and time, you kind of have a different breathwork for it. But what I love is the shamanic breathwork, and it's truly transformative.
So you healed yourself, and now you help heal other people. Some examples of people that you've healed shamanic breathwork journey.
So many, but I don't call myself really a healer. I'm more of a guide. And as a guide, you know, I tell my background as a marketing entrepreneur, businessman. Yeah, I'm no psychotherapist, no doctor. But at the same time, I sometimes feel I have a role to play. And with all the studying, certification, endless training, I do share. And I'm just someone who opens a door, sheds some light. You do all the work. You're the healer. Mm-hmm. Some of the most profound experiences are people who have deep trauma, abuse, someone they lost. I had a friend, she dragged her husband, who didn't want to come, skeptical, didn't believe. And he came, went into depression, alcoholism, you know, just literally lost it because a year prior, his father passed, a month later, his brother, 2 months after his mother, all three, back to back to back, from lung cancer, and he has the possibility from lung cancer, sister suing him, mega, mega idea. And he breathed, and he said, I couldn't believe what happened. I had them all three in front of me. And they talked to me, and was this real? Real as you want it to be. Mm-hmm. A woman came once, and she said, you set the intention. She said, I set the intention, but what happened? I didn't even know where that came from. She said, 12 years prior, I had two miscarriages. I saw them, the light, the stars, and I released them. She healed. You're talking years and years of therapy, and one breathwork session can cure, you know, and work and help you. And guide you on that path. We have endless stories, and even myself personally, future traveling, connecting with my future self and getting messages, going backwards in time, clarity on my business. I founded Nafas Journeys from breathwork. The logo came to me. I was in tears. I felt the journeys I hosted and the love inside the hearts of those who joined and the gratitude and the healing. I felt it from the inside of their deepest soul. Tears, and I said, this is it. And that came into breathwork. So I tell people, try, see the answer, see what you can come out of it, because, you know, there are many ways to heal. The breathwork is one of the most powerful, at least to me.
We nowadays, in today's society, look for so many different things to heal us. We're always looking for validation, and we find it so difficult to be still and I guess breathe. Can you give us some tips on how to be still for somebody who has a chaotic life, or they're on social media a lot, or getting so many different messages and distractions from the outside world?
A lot of people have those watches, you know, the smart watches, and the watches say, breathe, or you've done 12,000 steps, do more, or, you know, you're stressed, relax. That's great. But I tend to remind everybody, your gauge, your barometer is your breath. The moment you start to realize you're stressing out, you're breathing deeper or shallow or holding your breath, come back to the breath. The breath is a wonderful technique. For those who aren't comfortable speaking in front of, you know, large groups, for those going into a stressful situation, whether it's an accident or bad news, they say your stress levels control your breath. But it's a two-way street. Your breath controls your stress level. So technically, if you're in any state, you just simply have to just... It could be one, two, three breaths, and that's all you need. But to remind yourself, and it comes with practice, maybe it's even a reminder on your phone or that smartwatch. Children 5, 6, 7 years old, up to 10, 12, 14, when they're in a calm state, to remember to breathe. And the more they practice, whenever they're in a stressful situation, they can come back to the breath. They can come back to understanding, listen, I can regulate, control, self-center myself just with the breath. It's much simpler than you think. That's it.
Why do you think people are... Why do you think mental health is on the rise now? Mental health issues and depression, when we have such a tool like the breath or the mind to control ourselves, but it's on the rise now more than ever.
You know, the studies have shown we're living in the most advanced technologically, you know, medical stage in history, yet we have these chronic illnesses and diseases. This is an energetic shift, I believe. I think that people are giving away their power too much to others to heal them. They're forgetting that they can have the power with the mind, with the breath, with so many alternative, wonderful remedies. Stress comes from technology, comes from not living your authentic self. You know, I did a quick review on all those who joined the Nefesh journeys, all over Bali, Peru, Thailand, and so on. And the number one issue is that their soul is yearning for something. You know, they're in a relationship they don't like. They're in a job they can't stand. They want change. And at some point, if you don't listen to that knock and say, hey, you know, open that door, it's going to either come into a dis-ease or that mental disorder. It's funny enough, I'm reading this statistics about dogs and cats on Prozac and Xanax. And, of course, the pets take in all this energy, all that stress. Yeah. So kids, you know, it was one in 10, 1 in 8, now it's 1 in 6, 1 in 4 who have mental disorders. Yeah, stimulants are on the rise, antipsychotics, antidepressants. That's the easy way. And medicine is doing a great job, and in therapy, and the emperor rely on that, it's great. But when we give away our power to say, hey, and forget the basics, go back to basics. It's always basics. And I read a wonderful book about depression and the doctor prescribing something called meds. And meds was meditation, exercise, diet, and stress management. That's it.
Wow. So what's your advice to somebody who's struggling with the idea of breath work, or they find it difficult, or they don't believe?
And go somewhere new. This is what it's all about. If you're stuck in your same box, in your same city, in your same cubicle, doing the same thing, and you expect change, it's going to be a little bit hard. So go outside. Nature is a healer. Nurturing yourself with the good food is healing. Breath, nafas, is a healer. All these are techniques. Try.
Where do you see the future of breath work and... How do you see the future of breath work in its role to heal somebody?
I think this is getting more and more ingrained in all of society. Today, you have the U.S. Navy, the Marines, all the armies are doing breathwork. You have all the most incredible athletes, from Michael Phelps, the number one Olympian in the world, in history of the world. You know, all the top players, they're now into breathwork because they understand how to self-regulate, how to calm themselves down before a tennis serve. It's today with children. It's today in all walks of life. Breath is the integrating link between, you know, music and sports, between studying, sex, and between reading and everything. It's the breath. So I really believe today, even in the corporate world, you know, all the corporate social responsible teams sharing, you know, the benefits of how to heal, they use the breath. They're teaching. Everyone's getting into the breath work right now. And that's why we see it in the last few years. It's been on the rise. Everybody's talking about breath work. Just happy to be in that space.
You've done a lot of corporate breath work. Tell us a little bit about that. How do people respond to breath work in a corporate?
Either because they've never done it before or they're like, what are we doing again? And then comes the, you know, surprise. And then comes the transformation, saying, wow, this does really work. Mm-hmm. There are skeptical people. There are people who don't want to get into it. But I say, if we have 10 people or 100 people and you touch the heart of one, it's not one, but many, the difference is made. Because that one later on goes back to the community, the workforce, colleagues, and family, and helps change them. Yeah. And I've been invited to many corporate events. And one of the ones I was invited to, they said, listen, we really want to work on the breathwork with the team. And I asked, okay, what's the main reason? So they said, well, someone passed away last year from a heart attack. And then they said, someone this year had to be emergency evacuated from a heart attack. And I was like, okay. They said all of them under the age of 40. I'm like, wow. Okay, so what happens is stress is a silent killer. Stress, if not really worked on, it could result in all these diseases we see in cancer and diabetes and strokes and so on. So just being in that calm state and coming to the breath. And I mean, of course, there's the diet and your surrounding and your positive thoughts. But today we're in this let's go, go, go world and technology. I say take a break from technology.
If somebody's feeling a little lost in their life at the moment, they need some guidance and they don't know what to do, how does something like breath work help them find clarity?
When the mind is constantly being chattered, like we call it the monkey mind, what about the kids, the food, the mortgage in the house and the car, and what about work and my assignment, and it's constantly chattering, unless you are able to calm it down somehow, whether it's journaling, walking your pet, meditation, whatever technique you may be, and this comes when you're still. So I invite people to work on their meditation, work on their, you know, breathing. Some people say, I tried to meditate, didn't work. How many times you've tried? Two times. They say it's consistency, commitment, and focus. If you're going to learn a violin, a musical instrument, anything in life, you really have to be dedicated and try. You don't go to the gym one time and expect to be Superman. It's like a day in, day out process, or yoga, or anything in life.
And how does music play a role in shamanic breathwork?
They say the elements in the breathwork are music. I mean, breath, of course, music, movement, and sound. So we breathe. We listen to these chakra-attuned music, so water drums, shamanic drums, you know, rock drums. We listen to music that put you in a trance state-like. Mm-hmm. We make sound, we make movement. And with those elements, like the shamans did for thousands of years with the drumming and the chanting, like the Sufis did and the Rumis did, the twirling and the twisting, you're able to go in ecstatic states, altered states, and then you start to enter a non-ordinary reality. And in those states, you're able to connect with the spirit guides, your ancestors, loved ones. And music is one of the key factors, as it helps trigger. It helps activate, touch upon your energetic portals, your chakras, open up your throat, open up your heart, open up your third eye. And then as you reach the peak, as you breathe deep, you breathe conscious and connected, you come back to a beautiful state of meditation, a beautiful state of relaxation, coming back down to ground zero. And the music is one of the points that really triggers the heart, triggers the emotions. So music is definitely a key element. You can breathe without music. You can breathe only with the drum. Many techniques, but some people tend to really like, you know, work on me and touch me in that right frequency vibration.
So what happened, if somebody's listening right now and they don't know what a shaman is, what is a shaman?
A shaman is a medicine man or a medicine woman. Back in the day, they would go to them in times of pain. They would say, we need answers. So the shaman, in that state of chanting and breathing and drumming, would connect with what they call the spirit guides, spirit animals, find answers from within. They'd become and embody the eagle. They'd fly with the eagle. They'd look on obstacles from above. They'd find answers. And they would connect with the spirits of the plants, the rocks, the space, and the stars. It's very hard to describe when you're not really into that state, but once you open up to the possibility, you know, science is now proving there is much more than this three-dimensional world we live in. There is the unseen. We know that for a fact. Mm-hmm. You don't have to kind of, well, I'm not really sure. It's kind of proven. Mm-hmm. And in that space, there's connection that you can connect with, and there's answers. So a shaman is you, is me. We're all shamans. We're all healers. And as we're healers, we have the answers and the ability. It's just that sometimes people say, well, no, I'm not a healer. I don't have. We guide, you heal yourself.
So if someone wants to come along to a Nafas journey, either trip or a breathing session, tell us a little bit about that. What happens in one of these retreats and also in a breathwork session?
So we call them journeys. I feel the word retreat is backwards retreating. They're both the same. But a journey is a lifetime journey. Healing is a journey. Awakening is a journey. Transformation is a journey. In our Nafas journeys, depending on which adventure, if you're in Bali, it'll be 5 days. It'll be working on all the elements, with all the elements, the chakras, everything from an ice bath, yoga, meditation, everything from the waterfall, water blessing, everything from energy work to deep connection, community, excellent food, singing, dancing, cacao, something that really just opens your heart and peels a layer day by day as we beautifully curate this program to open you up. Peru, a little bit different, 10 days, a lot of hiking, a lot of plant spirit consciousness, sweat lodges. So we have Costa Rica, Peru, private ones. So if you're coming on a journey, we always say you set the intention, stay positive, and then you prepare yourself. Depending on which one you're going, we allow you to prepare. And then the journey will start to speak to you. You'll be attracted. If you come on a journey, that would be wonderful. If not, we host the Breathworks online and live, wherever in Bali or Dubai or wherever we are. The online ones, you just plug in, you're in your own home, in your own space, and you enjoy a wonderful journey connecting by yourself. The energy of a live session with the drum and the people and everyone, it's quite also powerful. So it depends on you. It's all relative, whatever you like more, being alone, secluded, or within a beautiful small group. So they're all journeys. One will call you. You'll find the message. Somebody will invite you. Mm-hmm. You know, I hosted one last night, and I said, please raise your hand if you're dragged here tonight. And like, or two guys are like, yeah, my wife. But then usually the next couple of times, brings all his friends are coming along. So that's how you join.
I definitely believe in that because I think I was at a stage in lockdown where I needed the breath work. And I did it online while you were in Bali and then got addicted. And it's helped me so much. And it's so magical and it's really life-changing. And like you said, the clarity that you get from a breath work and being still is second to none. Waleed, where can we follow you online? Where can we follow Nafas?
So our Instagram and Facebook is Nafas Journeys, which is N-A-F-A-S, which means breath, which comes from spirit, nafs. So Nafas Journeys. Or our website, nafas.life. So looking forward to hosting you in Bali soon, you know?
Yeah, I keep saying I need to come to Bali. Should we take a final breath?
We should. Let's go. You lead. In.
But I'm not the leader.
Listen, we're all leaders. So we're going to make it long, and we're going to make it slow, and we're going to make it beautiful.
Okay. In. After three.
Thank you, Maz.
Thank you, Waleed.
Beautiful.